Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 15th day of April, 2022. And I am thrilled to have back on the program someone, although I am thrilled to have her back on the program, I am nauseated and disgusted by what we have to discuss today. Today, we have returning to the program Audrey Werner, Dean of Life Issues and Professor at Masters International University of Divinity, President and Founder of an organization that offers a purity paradigm for our homes, churches, and nation. And that would be the Matthew 18 group, correct?
Yes.
And she is a former sex educator and sexually transmitted disease clinic nurse, a purity speaker for Life Talk Crisis Pregnancy Center, a national speaker for RSVP America, sex education expert for the American Academy of Biblical Counselors, and author of 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Children About Sex. Today we are going to be addressing a new documentary that she has participated in titled The Mind Polluters, which is a documentary exposing the dark realities of the intentional grooming of children into a worldview at odds with the Christian faith, rampant with sexuality, homosexuality, and transgenderism, normalized through the use of pornographic and pedophilic materials. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Audrey Werner.
Thank you, Chris. It's always an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate
it. And I appreciate it as well, perhaps more than you do. And, well, first of all, before we even go into the documentary, The Mind Polluters, tell us something about your own background in the field of sex education, and how this whole subject matter became a part of a mission or even a crusade that you are on to not only purge schools, government schools, of this nightmarish, satanic garbage, but even, believe it or not, you still have a mission to purge Christian schools of this pollution.
Yeah.
But tell us about your own background.
Well, I was raised in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Church. I actually married the youth director of our Lutheran Church, who was also the first grade school teacher at the Lutheran school. And during that time, I had a new career of as a public health nurse. And as part of my job as a public health nurse, was that I taught sex education in the schools. And I had to go through the standardized training that any person who teaches sex ed has to go through to be able to go into the schools and talk to kids about sex. I was told during my training that parents are not doing their job and that I need to go in there and do it for them. So I did this job diligently. My husband and I did not have children at that time. So I did that for 5 years, and during my training, they also said, you're going to hear this lie out there that if you talk to children about sex, they're going to go out and do it, and that's simply not true. You're actually going to decrease the pregnancy and the sexually transmitted disease rate. So I did this for 5 years, and then my husband and I were blessed with our first child. I still wanted to work for the health department, but I wanted to work part-time. So the only part-time job was working in the venereal disease HIV clinic. I did that during the 1990s, and it's as if the Lord said, I want you to see the fruit of your labor. And instead of seeing things getting better, I saw things getting progressively worse. Now, at the same time, I had a dear friend of mine at the Lutheran Church who was looking into the very first Christian sex education program, which is called the Learning About Sex series. It came out of Concordia Publishing House in 1967. I vividly remember getting the book when I was in fourth grade, and my response to it, which was I had never seen a naked person before, and this book had pictures. I'd never seen a naked male before, and I was very uncomfortable. I tried to put that book as deep into my desk as I could to get it away from me. Little did I know till in future research that I was trying to protect my own moral innocence. And thank goodness, my teacher was uncomfortable with the book as well because we never went over it. So I thought, okay, when did sex education start? Who really developed it and what was the intent behind it? And I was looking into also the origins of the very first Christian sex ed program and came across a pedophile who is considered the father of the sexual revolution, which is Alfred Kinsey. Hugh Hefner gave the seed money for sex education to be put into schools. And Dr. Mary Calderon was an instrumental voice. She actually went to the American Council of Churches and convinced the churches that they needed to put sex education in the schools. So, and she was the medical director of Planned Parenthood before she was a proponent of pushing sex education. So I thought, wow, this is a huge story. And I thought, oh my gosh, at first I thought I just have to wake up the Lutheran school that my child then was in kindergarten when I was starting to research all of this, our firstborn. And then I realized, oh my goodness, I need to take this to the top of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And then I realized I have to take this to the entire body of Christ, which was an insurmountable task. So I had an argument with God several times. And every time I would say, but I'm not an expert in this, the Lord would connect me with the person who happened to be the expert in that in the world. And one of those people was Dr. Judith Reisman, who is also featured in the documentary, The Mind Polluters.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there is something that brought back memories. I remember in the 80s, I would frequently watch the Phil Donahue show. And and I was, even knowing how left-wing Phil Donahue was, I must have not ever have seen the particular program that Judith participated in, because watching it today, watching the documentary today, seeing that clip of Phil Donahue, I was astonished that he was defending Kinsey. And but it was quite interesting. Maybe you know whether or not he was aware of the depth of depravity of Kinsey's research, but he seemed, because I know that he was reluctant at first to show the audience the research that was being done that involved pedophiles and even sexually molesting and basically torturing infants. But he seemed visually stunned for at least a few seconds when he showed it on the screen, like as if he didn't even know what he was getting into. He didn't know what the Pandora's box he was opening. Do you know anything about whether he was fully aware of how dark the Kinsey research was?
He was, because if you notice in that clip, after she shows the pedophile data, he asks her the question. He asks Judith the question because she's trying to show people this is ridiculous. This is, you know, this is a crime. And he said, so what's your point here?
Yes, I did hear him say that, but I didn't know if he was just trying to somehow escape from an embarrassment.
No. He worked with the Kinsey Institute.
Wow.
He was fully aware. You know, and we hear that pedophilia is very rampant in Hollywood and has been for years.
And that girl married him? Danny Thomas's lovely daughter and spokesperson for St. Jude's Hospital married him?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot coming out lately. I pray more comes out, but, you know, with the whole Disney thing, I was showing the film in Florida a couple of weeks ago to leaders in Florida, and they were complaining that Governor DeSantis didn't go far enough with this bill, that the bill should have covered, you know, you shouldn't indoctrinate any children in any grade to sexualization. And I said, no, he's brilliant. Because who's going to argue sexualizing kindergarten or preschool through third grade? Who's going to stand up for that? Well, who ended up standing up for it and arguing against it but Disney? So I thought that was brilliant on his part to expose who's supporting the grooming of children. And now we know. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is nightmarish stuff. I think that there are going to be people in my audience who probably may think that this is nutty conspiracy theory stuff because it is so outlandish. It is so over the top, satanic, and sexually evil and perverse. Well, the things right. that we are talking about. So before we get even involved in more of the discussion of the content of the documentary, Mind Polluters, tell us about how this documentary even came to come into existence. What was the driving force? Was it a realization that there was rampant ignorance amongst parents and churches and politicians and communities about the depth of evil that was present in the sex education system?
I'll tell you, when I was doing my research and when I said I'm not an expert in Kinsey, the Lord connected me with Judith Reisman. When I said, I realized that our laws had been changed. For example, you can go on an app and find out where the closest pedophile lives in your neighborhood. That didn't used to be the case. It used to be they were put away in prison or they were put to death. So the protections for marriage, women, and children have been eliminated in this country, and Kinsey science was used to do that. So I knew nothing on the law, and the Lord connected me with Colonel Ron Ray and his wife Eunice Ray, who had founded RSVP America, and they were working with Judith to bring about an awareness that the model penal code in the sex offense section had been changed, and Kinsey science, we used to have something called the common law, which was based on the Bible, and so these new scientists came in and said, oh, that's too old and antiquated. The lawyers who were on the dark side were pushing this, so they drafted the model penal code in 1955, and the first state to adopt it was Illinois, and then it spread across the country. So as was shared in the film, that legalized pornography, it legalized abortion, it lessened penalties for rape of women and children, it was used for no-fault divorce. I mean, there was this whole cascade of ushering in the sexual revolution with Kinsey science changing our law to make it even easier to push this on everyone. Fast forward to, I've been presenting this for years, trying to wake people up, because Colonel Ray said to me, he said, it has crept into every institution. If you are in the field of education, you have been influenced by Kinsey science. If you are in the field of medicine, I heard throughout nursing school, children are sexual from birth. And that means that children are capable of sexual activity. According to Kinsey's eyes, infants could have sex with adults, and it's not harmful. So in the STD clinic, for example, a 13-year-old girl was brought in by a 22-year-old man, and I could not call her parents. I could not call the police because, according to the government, she was a consenting adult at the age of 13, and I had to give her birth control. That's what he brought her in for. So, and sadly, it has crept into the military, and it has crept into the church. So Kinsey's teachings, especially in the area of sex education, marital intimacy, I always say, by whose authority, when somebody writes a book, by whose authority are they standing on? And I would say 90% of the Christian material goes back to Alfred Kinsey. So we have been heavily influenced. So I've been doing this for a long time of trying to wake up people and working with RSVP America. And my organization was started based on Matthew 18:15-17. If your brother sins, you go to him. If they don't listen, you go to the church. And so my mission is to wake up the church and encourage everyone to get back to God's standard in Bible, which is chastity, purity, modesty, self-control. We need to protect marriage, women, and children again. We need to restore God's law in this nation and make it honorable again. But we need to have the church behind this movement, and it's been a slow going on that. So 2019, I prayed, Lord, just get me to the remnant. And I've been very surprised where I've been. Uganda Parliament to a legislative briefing, but it wasn't in the church. So I was asked to speak at a conference in Indiana, and I met Mark and Amber Archer. They had already done one documentary. Their company is called Fearless Features, which I love the name of that. They had done a documentary on the abortion industry in Indiana called Inwood Drive. They used to work for Hollywood. And God got a hold of their heart and said, I want you to start making movies for me. So their first one was Inwood Drive. The second one, they had read a book called The Mind Polluters. And they knew that they needed to do one on pornography because it's connected. Pornography and abortion are connected. Anthony is a Comstock had said that they're the three, contraception, pornography, and abortion, were all interconnected. So they wanted to do a pornography, and somebody said, hey, Judith Reisman, Audrey Warner, Rhonda Miller, these people are experts on pornography with children. You may want to go to a conference they're speaking at in Napanee, Indiana. So that's where I met them for the first time, and they said, can we film you? And we said, sure. So they filmed the whole conference. And then they came back to each individual of us and came to our state where we live and interviewed us for the movie. And it's by God's grace that this movie came together because no Christian organizations wanted to back them on this.
Now, obviously, so, we should not forget to pay tribute to two key people involved in the creation of this documentary, Mark and Amber Archer. Tell us about them and their background.
They have an interesting background, and they used, like I said, they used to work for Hollywood, and they both have had a come-to-Jesus moment. They're married. They have children. They're a wonderful, courageous Christian couple. I've had people who have seen the movie. They're so surprised at the quality of the movie, and I said, well, that's because they used to work for Hollywood. Why this movie is so wonderful.
This is not a cheesy, poorly made film, as sadly many Christian films are. This is not in that category at all. Very professionally done.
Yes, and they were able to tie together comprehensive sex education, critical race theory, and social emotional learning, which is in all of the schools in America and is coming to all the schools. Social emotional learning is now in every school in America. And even the Christian schools are starting to adopt the concept of that. But basically, the movie does a great job of showing you how they have figured out to rewire children's brains. So anyway, they have been courageous in going forward. They had to mortgage their house to put this movie together. And they, the Lord just directed them through this whole thing. I mean, they, I'm so honored to be in a movie with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis.
Yes.
In this movie. To Craig Sawyer, from, he's the former SEAL team who rescues children from child sex trafficking. So, you know, they knew exactly what they were doing, and you can tell God's hand is on it because it has been powerful. The responses that we're getting, where we're showing this all over the country.
Well, obviously we need to get into the nitty gritty of what it is about the sex education curriculum that is spreading like a cancer throughout our nation and abroad, even targeting children who are pre-K and kindergarten age. This is the clips that this documentary shows, because folks, this is not, as I was saying earlier, some kind of a conspiracy theory by nutty right-wingers. This documentary actually shows clips of those involved in the sex education curriculum that is rampant in our world today. And so you can see and hear for yourself what they are promoting to little children. They are not teaching children just that these things exist. When I say these things, premarital sex, homosexuality, etc., transgenderism, they are intentionally making children feel comfortable about these things. Am I right?
Yes, yes. This is about rewiring children's brains. And as I, they do such a great job in the movie of showing actual curricula that is being used in schools. This is, and that's been my point since I found out the origins of sex ed, is I had to have a footnote for everything, because it's such an incredible, preposterous story, but it explains why we are where we are in America. That movie has done a good job. And consistently when I have presented before this movie came along, which is a this movie is a fabulous tool to help me present, make the case for this. But before that, just in my presentations, people would go, wow, I love how you connect the dots, you know, that this is all interconnected. It has the same, as you said, demonic root. And there's actually a picture of Kinsey in the movie, a black and white picture of him, and he is standing in Alex Crollister's temple, satanic temple in Sicily, where he would rape, torture, and murder babies in the temple for Satan during his satanic rituals. So this is a principality that is not only taking over America, is taking over the world. When I said, God, get me to the remnant in 2019, I actually, through an invitation from a pastor in Uganda, went over, unbeknownst to me, at a time when they were about to put sex education in their schools, because they haven't officially put it in yet. And so I went over and presented what I knew at that time. And it actually halted sex education from going into the schools. So even after people see this movie and they're overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, this is so huge, and it's so pervasive throughout, not just public schools, it's in Christian schools, and even homeschool materials has some of this in it. So it is so overwhelming. But I remind people, if God could take one woman over to Uganda and stand up against the UN, Planned Parenthood International, and UNICEF, and God halted sex ed from going in the schools there, what can he do with 10 righteous people in America?
Amen. Now, some of the other things involved in this are a promotion, not as, again, not just identifying to children that there is a thing such as homosexuality. And I'm not advocating that even fact-based documentaries or information promoting the education of sex amongst children. I don't even believe in that. I think that's something that is the duty of a parent to be involved in, how to teach their children about sex and so on. But it's not even just fact-based. It's promoting homosexuality. It's basically telling kids things that nobody has the right to be telling them, to give into your feelings and your desires, and even implanting those thoughts, which may turn into proclivities and desires later when they didn't even exist there before, right?
Right, exactly. And again, I think Mark and Dammer did a great job of highlighting my good friend, Monica Klein, who's here in Texas with me, who also was a fellow sex educator. And she and Craig Sawyer, who rescues children from child sex trafficking, they both did a great job of showing the parallel between comprehensive sex education. What a sex educator does, not intentionally, because I will say I was a sex educator, so was she, and this was not our intention to sexualize children, but the techniques we were taught are the same techniques that a pedophile uses to groom children. So that's a pretty powerful statement. Sexual words and images are powerful, and children have an aversion to it. When a parent, we're encouraged. In the Learning About Sex series, I did a word search. I looked at how many times is chastity, or just the word purity, how many times is purity mentioned, and it was mentioned just a handful, under five times. I think it was less than that. Pure and purity was mentioned, two times, I think it was. And I looked at the words sex, sexuality, sexual intercourse, 354 times. So the focus was not a biblical base, but rather it was a Kinsey base. I did the research of looking at how did we approach this before Alfred Kinsey. His books came out in 1948, 1953. The media promoted him as a happily married man, a legitimate scientist. The corrupt people in the legal community and in our governments pushed his science as legitimate science, and yet looking at his own data, as Judith showed in the movie, looking at his own data, he has interviewed pedophiles, and he is timing how long babies have orgasms. And then he defines orgasms of infants as fighting away the partner, a collapsing, trembling, fainting, screaming. That is horrific. And so it's in Kinsey's book. So this is the foundation of comprehensive sex education. Prior to this, it was, I found some antique books, and it was the flowers, the birds, and the bees. And now parents are being told, now these are, today we were born into the sexual revolution, so we know no different. We were brought up with sex education, so... But parents do have a little bit of an aversion of talking graphically to their kids about sex. And so a lot of parents are thankful they can give it to the experts, but now we're finding out that the experts are being trained in this pedophile model of normalizing all kinds of sexual activity. And so the new fad is transgenderism. And there was a poll that came out recently that was of young people, generation, and they say that now 33% of them identify as LGBTQ. I know there's many letters after that now, but we're talking about an explosion in young people who are taking on these sexual identities. Well, why is that happening? Because they've been indoctrinated in the schools. They've been indoctrinated through these programs. It's been normalized. And I always say to parents, our number one goal is to make sure that our children have their identity in Jesus Christ. Because if their identity is in Jesus Christ, that's going to dictate their actions, their decisions, and their motives. But if we aren't diligent in doing that, the world is ready to give them these types of identities. And the fad right now is the transgender movement, which, again, was highlighted in the film, how they can take a preschooler and start to plant the seeds of transgenderism.
Yeah, and I probably, in fact, not probably, I should have opened up the program by telling my listeners to make sure that no young children were in the room, although they were listening to the broadcast. And I will repeat that warning now every time I come back from a break. But this is mind-boggling and nightmarish satanic stuff. And it is absolutely astonishing the lengths to which leftists are going. Leftists who themselves are not even involved in some of these abominations in regard to homosexuality, transgenderism, and pedophilia, but for some reason think it is so important to perpetuate these so-called freedoms in our nation, and also to instill these things as options for young people as they grow and develop. Obviously, that I'm aware of, we haven't reached a point where pedophilia is being promoted, at least overtly, but the ground is certainly being tilled for fertile soil for that to be the outcome with children, not only to voluntarily participate in something like that. And of course, a child can't really voluntarily be involved because they don't even know what's really going on. But
there's two things, Chris, that are going on. One is the lowering of the age of consent. As I said, there was this 13-year-old, and now the American Law Institute is suggesting that the age of consent be lowered to 10. So to correlate with that, there is a curricula called Unequal Partners, and that has a picture of an adult man and a boy on it. And it is a curricula to help teachers and counselors and nurses. If a 10-year-old, they identify a healthy relationship between a 10 to 17-year-old and an adult, this curricula helps the official authority in the school to help the child at 10 decide if that's a healthy relationship.
Wow. See,
no longer call the police.
Wow.
It's here. It's here right now. And that's why this movie is so timely and it is so urgent that Christians wake up on this issue. The walls are down. We are in Nehemiah time, and we've got to get to rebuilding those walls.
And we're going to be going to our first station break. If you have a question for Audrey Werner on this issue, send us your email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and I could readily see a subject like this opening up the door for many people with personal and private matters that they want to ask Audrey about. So I will definitely allow that. But if it is just a general question, a general question on how you could protect your children and the children in your church and your community, and how you can get local politicians involved and all that kind of thing. If it's just a general question, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Audrey Werner right after these messages.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school, and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, this is Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and my guest today is Audrey Werner. I ask of you to make sure that no children are with you in the room where you are listening to today's program, because we are talking about very sensitive issues, definitely issues that young minds and ears should not be exposed to, which is exactly the point, actually, of the documentary we are discussing. The Mind Polluters, a documentary exposing the dark realities of the intentional grooming of children into a worldview at odds with the Christian faith, rampant with sexuality, homosexuality, and transgenderism, normalized through the use of pornographic and pedophilic materials. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And I'm going to play the audio right now for the trailer for this documentary, and then we'll return to Audrey immediately after.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design. It's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Wow. We will be repeating this website later, but it is themindpolluters.com. themindpolluters.com, and you can find out more about this documentary that features our guest today, Audrey Werner. And Audrey, Kinsey died when it was, to my knowledge, he died in the heyday of Ozzy and Harriet. You know, he died in the late 50s.
Right.
How did the soil of this nation and of the family specifically and academia become so fertile to embrace the ideology of a madman and a pervert? I mean, obviously, there have always been, at some point, beginning after the Garden, at least, there have always been homosexuals. There have always been people involved in adultery and fornication. But back then, it at least was something that shocked the sensibilities of the average American family, even if they were unregenerate, even if they were not Christian. Even if they may have even been an agnostic family or an atheist family, which was far less less in numbers back then, but how on earth did the school systems come to embrace this stuff? It's kind of interesting how, and I am not recommending this movie, and I don't clearly remember all of the movie, but almost 20 years ago, I saw the Hollywood movie about Kinsey, unfortunately starring one of my favorite actors, Liam Neeson. But even that Hollywood treatment of him revealed that he was a man out of control sexually, even if you want to use a clinical term of being a sex addict. Just rampant out of control, and it destroyed his marriage and his own mental health. And I believe it actually is what eventually killed him physically. But how did these ears in academia and elsewhere become so eager to hear such horrible, nightmarish stuff, as if this was the expertise we needed to properly train up young people so that they may be properly understanding sexual activity and what it is all about?
The strength of America has been our biblical foundations. We're a Christian nation not because we have more Christians or churches, but because our laws and our government were founded on the principles of the Old and New Testament. If you look at Psalm 2:2, talks about the kings of the earth wanting to be the rulers of the world. There's an excellent book that was written, I believe, in the 1950s. It was called Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and it was written by a legal counsel to U.S. Congress in the 1950s by the name of Renee Wurmser. And in that, Renee exposes how the foundations, which were started up in the 1920s, the Fords, the Carnegies, and the Rockefellers, who started up these tax-exempt foundations, he actually shows through the book that these were people that wanted to be kings of the earth, the wealthy elite. And if you fast forward to today, the programs that were exposed in the Mind Polluters are still funded by people. You will see Carnegie Foundation, you will see Rockefeller Foundation, but now you have the Warren Buffett and the Bill Gates and the other wealthy elite who want to be the rulers of the world. Well, in order to destroy America, you have to destroy the Christian church and you have to destroy the traditional family. So the idea of the sexual revolution didn't just happen in the 1960s. It took revolutionaries years of pre-planning. So Kinsey's just a tool that was used. He's not the ultimate devil here. Obviously, Satan is the author of these lies and deceit. But Kinsey's science came out in the 30s and the 40s. He was doing this research, and he was funded by the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. So his science was used and then supplanted into every institution, as I said. So his, for example, at Indiana University, he started teaching a marriage class in the 1930s. So he was starting to have influence already at the university. Once his science came out and his research was published in 48 and in 53, then you have different, you have the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University, which is still there today, by the way. And for pedophiles all over the world, you can send your data. There's a Kinsey app. So at the university, the Kinsey Institute is still collecting data from pedophiles all over the world. Again, so this continues to go on. But in the book of Foundations, Renee Wurmser brings up the Kinsey-Rockefeller connection and even states in there that the Rockefeller Foundation or the Kinsey science was a deliberate attack on Judeo-Christian morality. So this was a well-thought-out plan that began, again, the American Law Institute was started up in 1923 with the intent of removing 52 Bible-based laws. The problem, I've always said, is where was the church when no-fault divorce became legal? Where was the church during Roe versus Wade? Where was the church when pornography became legal? And the problem was they were brilliant because they knew to infiltrate the church. Because if they could infiltrate the Frankfurt School, talked about, the communist Frankfurt School, talked about infiltrate the church first because the church sets the moral society. And we're seeing denomination after denomination that has embraced the LGBTQ, has embraced abortion. And if you go back to the science that they're using, because obviously they're not using scripture, they're using Kinsey science. So again, this was a well thought out plan. It was put into the universities. If anyone takes the human sexuality course, even if you take it at a Christian university, you are getting indoctrinated in Kinsey science. Because the whole field is founded on Kinsey's fraud, criminal science.
Now, I know for a fact that the Christian school operated by my own congregation, where I'm a member, Christian School of Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, would never in a million years touch or certainly not promote anything that is contained in these satanic school curriculums. And I know churches with whom I have very close fellowship that would share that revulsion and that protection of children, never to allow any of them to see or hear any of this satanic garbage. I am baffled that a denomination that is, in spite of my theological differences with the Missouri Synod Lutherans, I have friends who are Missouri Synod Lutheran pastors and other and members of other very conservative Bible-believing Lutheran denominations outside of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, which Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, which is really an apostate denomination. But I know these conservative guys. In fact, I've interviewed authors published by Concordia that you said was making some of these nightmarish sex ed curriculums available in print. How on earth did they come to embrace this satanic stuff? And how much of that denomination is still using this stuff? I'm just, my mind is boggled by that because of the great reverence for Scripture and the strong belief in the inerrancy of Scripture and other and everything in regard to biblical morality that I share with my conservative Lutheran friends. I'm just astonished by this. How did this happen, and how much of it is still going on?
I always preface it with, please understand that I'm not beating up the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's just I happen to be from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, so I looked at their writings. But in all you will find in the area of Christian sex education and intimacy in marriage, you will find there has been a shift over the last 60, 70 years. And so it's in all denominations. It's not just Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. But I will share with you that when I first came across all of this in 1997, there were some other moms who were concerned about this curricula who had reached out to Concordia Publishing and were basically treated like go back to the kitchen kind of thing. And you're too emotional and, you're crazy. There's no way that we're theologically based, we're sound in our writings. So I made an attempt to reach out and was ignored at first. So I decided to go to the top, and at that time, Dr. A.L. Berry was the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
In fact, if you could pick up on Dr. Berry right after we return from our midway break, because we have to go to that. And I ask of my listeners, please be patient with us. This is the longer break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to air their own public service announcements and other things that geographically localize this show to Lake City, Florida. We air our globally heard commercials simultaneously. So please be patient with us, and we will be right back after these messages. So do not go away.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, always make solid-ground-books.com your first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and publish nothing but the very finest in Christian literature that has stood the test of time, dating back all the way to the Protestant Reformation, and even extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day minds of Christendom that are truly brilliant and have been educating and edifying members of the body of Christ for decades, such as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Please, always remember when you make a purchase at solid-ground-books.com to mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We depend upon the advertising of solid-ground-books.com to exist, and we want them to know that every time someone from our audience purchases a book from them, that their ad dollars are being wisely spent. So please keep solid-ground-books.com advertising with us by purchasing books from them and letting them know where you heard about them, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And of course, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by buying books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, and you will not regret it once you purchase books from them and begin reading them, I can assure you. If you love the Word of God and you love historic, biblically sound theology, that's solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to my interview with Audrey Werner on the documentary The Mind Polluters, I just have a couple of more announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I am urging you please to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer mailing in a check the old-fashioned way, by going to your local post office and sending in a physical check via snail mail made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you may do so to the address, the physical address that appears on the screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please never give your own church where you are a member less money that you are normally accustomed to giving them in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that. Also, please don't put your family in further financial jeopardy if you're really struggling to survive. Those two things are commandments of God, providing for church and family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you have been blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money to burn on recreational matters and trivial matters, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue to survive. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a truly Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church that loves God's people, and loves God's word, if you are not a member of such a church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you, because I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the world find churches, sometimes within minutes from their own home. I just had two folks contact me before the show started who needed a church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and in Stocksdale, North Carolina. So if you are in that predicament, or if you know somebody who is, where you do not have a biblically faithful church that you're aware of near you, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question for Audrey Werner on the documentary we are discussing, The Mind Polluters. And once again, I want to warn parents to keep their young children out of the room while they listen to this broadcast, because we are going to be describing some pretty horrifying things that are present in the sex education system. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And before I go to any of our listeners who have been sending in questions, I want to pick up where we left off when I asked you about how mind-boggling it is to me that some of this nightmarish and satanic curriculum is present within the denomination known as the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, because I have such a high regard for that denomination and know pastors in that denomination and authors who I've interviewed in that denomination using their primary publishing house. How did this happen? And you were about to discuss how you went to the hierarchy, and I believe Dr. Berry you approached him about this, if you could continue from there.
Yes. In 1997, I was coming to the realization that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod sex education program was founded on Kinsey science. So I used the Matthew 18 process. I went and talked to leaders at the local, the state, and then went all the way up to Dr. Berry and sent him a letter with the information. And because I had a friend whose husband was on the board of directors for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that was my doorway into Dr. Berry. And he took to heart the information that I shared. And so he said, I'm not pulling the series at this time. I do find this disturbing. And he opened the door for me to be in a debate with the leaders of Concordia Publishing House. So with him as the moderator. So I have all of the correspondence back and forth. And it came to a head because as I started this, I was saying, okay, Lord, I'm not a pastor. This is Missouri Synod. I'm a woman. Who's going to listen to me? And the Lord gave me Judith Reisman, and then Colonel Ron Ray and Eunice Ray, who were able to help me. Colonel Ray is a constitutional lawyer. He's the former assistant to the Secretary of Defense under President Reagan. And he said, Audrey, you have to make the case to the Lutheran Church of why they are in error. So he helped me to construct what I call a Supreme Court brief that was put together, and it is available. You can read it. It's on my website. It was the actual document that was presented to a representative from Concordia Publishing House. Unfortunately, Dr. Berry had passed away suddenly. I believe it was in 2000 that he passed away. So I had a friend who was the head of Lutherans for Life at the time, and she orchestrated a meeting between Concordia Publishing House and myself. A representative met with me at the Lutherans for Life headquarters in Iowa, where I presented the document that I had put together. And again, this is not my opinion. I am always saying when someone speaks, and they write, you go to the bibliography to look at by whose authority are they standing on. And I have a book that was published by Concordia Publishing House in 1961. It's called Sex and the Church. And in the book, it says, Alfred Kinsey and his associates were discovering some facts about sexual behavior. Though many doubts have been expressed, both in the press and elsewhere, as to the validity of Kinsey's findings, it's probably fair to say that insofar as statistical studies can give us an accurate information, the Kinsey books are reliable for the type of study made.
Wow.
So this created the foundation for the learning about sex theories. So fast forward to 1967 in a book called Christian View of Sex Education put out by Concordia Publishing in 1967. This was a book to convince the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastors, that they needed to put sex ed in the Lutheran schools and in the Sunday schools and churches. And it starts with, in recent years, sociologists have made public startling findings on the sex attitudes and practices of modern men and women. The American public were taken a bit by surprise. Many were downright shocked. Then forward on, it says, early in the 1960s at the North American Conference on Church and Family, social scientists reported their findings on sex-related problems. Their reports discussed premarital pregnancies, interfaith marriage, divorce, and broken homes, the free sex attitudes of teenagers. This is the early 1960s, which it wasn't anything like it is today. So it basically came down to the greatest concern expressed by the sociologists was that Americans have lost a stable moral standard. The new morality, which suggests behavior, should be determined by the circumstances or situation in which a person finds himself, is an inadequate moral standard for the Christian person. So in the bibliography of this book, you have the American Medical Association, which, by the way, used Kinsey science. You have CECIS, which is the Sex Information and Education Council of the United States. They are the foundation. It was founded at the Kinsey Institute. Mary Calderon was on the board of directors. And again, other resources in the bibliography of this book for Lutheran leaders include Planned Parenthood resources. So this, and in the parent book, it actually quotes Kinsey's statistics directly as a justification for going in and talking to the children. So there's overwhelming evidence, and this has never been repealed. I will tell you that I did approach the presidents after that, including the current president, and certainly in my document, I suggest that this be recalled, this series be recalled, and the public told why it is recalled, because it, the foundation has created much damage to society. Using this type of foundation instead of the Bible and the Bible alone, using Kinsey's science, has destroyed marriages. We can say today, how many pastors are addicted to pornography? How many had sex before marriage? How many fornicated is the correct biblical term. So, again, we're all products of the sex education that's out there. And if we, the church, can't clean up our own mess and recant what is based on demonic, how do we expect the world to follow Christ? So that has been my argument from the beginning. I will tell you there's hope, because I did notice that the movie of The Mind Polluters was actually shown at one of the two Lutheran seminaries for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It was shown at the seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I have not heard the reaction or the response there. I also, when the day before I presented and met Mark and Amber, I actually got to present at the seminary to seminary students how Kinsey got into the Lutheran Church, which was amazing in itself that I got to present that information. And the document that I gave the Lutheran leaders, as well as that presentation, is on my website. So if you go to Matthew18.org, you can look at the tab. There's a tab for curricular review, and the Learning About Sex series review is on there that I presented to the Lutheran Church in 2001 and to the leaders of Concordia Publishing House. And then you can also click on the presentation, not only that I did at the Lutheran Seminary, but the one I did in Parliament in Uganda that halted sex ed.
So the current status of this situation in the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church is that this stuff still exists in their school curriculums.
It is still, there are Lutheran schools that use, but there are Christian schools of several denominations that still use this series. But again, when we look at all the craziness in this world, you know, leaders in the church are looking for something, and this is advertised as a Bible-based, Christ-centered curricula to be used. So people are like, oh, good, there's a good Christian curricula here I can use. If they knew this was based on the science of a pedophile, they'd be horrified. So again, that's why I wrote my book, 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex, because I went back to the Bible, and I actually have a good, or I have a friend, a pastor friend, who actually wrote the Song of Songs commentary for Concordia Publishing House. And he, I bugged him a lot when I was unearthing all this back in 2001. I consulted him a lot on what does, you know, God seems to be modeling a lot of modesty in Scripture. You know, am I correct in that assumption and what I'm reading? And he was able to expand on it even more. So I wrote my book in 2017, and I have now, it's a revised standard. I have a new version out there, and it has, the first half of it is the history of what we were talking about earlier in the show, how America was shifted, the origins of sex education, and then the second half is biblical principles on how we do talk to our kids about sex using God's word.
And by the way, folks, you can go to the archives of my radio program, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you go to the podcast section, which is identified as podcast, and then in parentheses, past shows, you'll see a search engine there. Type in Audrey. I don't think I've ever interviewed anybody else by that name. But if I did interview anybody else as well, Audrey Werner will certainly come up in all of her interviews with me, which would include the discussions we had on her book and also a more detailed discussion on the pervert who has been lauded as a great hero of sex research, the satanic pedophile Alfred Kinsey. We have a much more detailed discussion on him as well. I've got to start contacting my conservative, Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, Missouri Synod Lutheran friends in the pastoral ministry and also who are authors and other folks. I got to start telling them that they've really got to purge that completely from their denomination. It's a disgrace. Now, when you say that other denominations are also doing this, are you mainly talking about the liberal mainline churches, or are you speaking about any church or denomination that is openly professes to be a group that believes in the inerrancy of Scripture and has a commitment to biblical sexuality and all that? I mean, who are you talking about here?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I did a radio interview, which was aired last week, with Kevin Swanson of Generations Ministry. And he has a huge following.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I interviewed Kevin.
Okay. Well, Kevin's not Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but he and I
really
both were.
Because he was an Orthodox Presbyterian when I interviewed him.
Yeah, he's not Lutheran, but his parents got the Learning About Sex series, and he was exposed to the same book I was as a child, and we both had traumatic experiences, you know, with that. I mean, we have it very vivid in our memory when we were exposed to those books. So that's what I'm saying. It's not just Lutherans that use this series. It's across the board people have used this, because if you go to Focus on the Family, they have primarily, I think, two or three Christian sex ed materials. And they're all based, they all have that foundation on Kinsey. If you go to any Christian bookstore and get a Christian sex ed, usually you're going to see the Learning About Sex series is there. So, yes, there are other denominations. And again, you know, I can't tell you exactly each school. I know one of the largest Baptist churches here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area had the Learning About Sex series in their bookstore. So, you know, it is pervasive. And sad to say, it's one of the largest money makers, has been for, it's what put Concordia Publishing on the map, you know, was it, primarily they just published, and mainly their customers were Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But when they came out with that sex ed series in the 60s, and, you know, you had this explosion, what seemed like just out of nowhere, this sexual revolution, parents were hungry of all denominations. So suddenly, you know, everyone was given, you know, the opportunity to purchase that curriculum.
Okay, we have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania who asks, do you think a part of the problem of parents and pastors and other leaders who might otherwise embrace biblical moral values, but who have fallen prey to the nonsense and even the devilish teachings that have their roots in Kinsey, have been willing to accept this stuff is because of the scientific label that has been attached to it. I have been astounded how many people who seem very intelligent otherwise, who are conservative, who believe in the Bible, who seem to live upright Christian lives, who once a scientist says something, they seem to want to trust it with their lives and totally bypass the things that they claim to cherish in regard to theology.
I agree with that statement. I will say that the argument for putting sex ed in the schools is always, oh, well, this is science-based, age-appropriate materials. Well, when you, again, go back to the fact that the science was a pedophile who determined that infants should have sex with adults, that's not very age-appropriate. But unfortunately, yes, you're right. Science, at the time, there was, when Kinsey's science came out, there was so many innovations and so many, things happening that people trusted the science. I will say, with this whole COVID thing, I think people are starting to question at least the medical science.
Yep.
Because you have physicians now on both sides. So,
yep.
Thank goodness, people are starting to question the authorities, which is good. I always say to a patient, be an educated consumer.
Amen.
You need to do the research yourself. So that's what we're finding, is that's what we need to do. So that's a great statement from that person.
Amen. And my personal physician is vehemently opposed to the wearing of masks in order to prevent the spread of a virus, because he knows that's absolutely ridiculous. He's very opposed to the current vaccines for the coronavirus. He has been publicly warning the populace about the dangers of these vaccines. He has these warnings on his website. And my advertiser that many of you have heard on this program, Banu Gadi, who is a pharmacist and owns several pharmacies, he is publicly in opposition to the use of the vaccines. Never believed in the masks as the masks that most people are wearing, thinking that they are preventing the spread of any kind of a virus. He's very opposed to it. In fact, his cousin, who is another pharmacist, removed his son from a college that was insisting that all the students get vaccinated with the coronavirus vaccines. So there are people out there that are risking their livelihoods. Their
That's right. To speak the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thank God for them. And
you're right. And I'm a registered nurse, and I deal with the population I deal with is 55 and older. And I would say the vaccine has been devastating on people's health. I've seen an explosion of blood clots and the like. So the people who are risking it to give us truth, there's a lot of validity to their truth, because we are witnessing it as doctors and nurses, and we're being silenced. So that could be a whole other show, Chris.
And I want to plug my own doctor's website, heritagefamilyhealth.org, heritagefamilyhealth.org, and you could see on the website his warnings about the vaccines, and it's all documented. And he's really bravely risking his practice and his license by being involved in the forefront of opposition to this devilish goings-on, as one of our listeners just called it in his email. One of the things that shows you either the ignorance of the education system about what's going on, or they are so tangled in a web of lies, they don't remember what they lied about before, and they wind up showing themselves to be absolutely hypocritical to a laughably ridiculous degree. It was revealed in one of the portions of the video, or the documentary, I should say, The Mind Polluters, where there was an Indiana Senate committee meeting on education and career development. And those that were your colleagues, you and your colleagues, were warned that you were forbidden to read the children's homework assignments because these committee hearings, or this committee hearing, was being live streamed and children might hear these things.
Yep.
I mean, but they're already hearing them in the classroom.
Yeah. Yes, the irony of that was, and I love the fact, That's the one point in the movie, and I've shown this movie in movie theaters as well to, you know, smaller groups, but that is the one point where people chuckle in the movie because it is so ridiculous that, you know, the parents of Indiana went to school districts, their school districts. They pulled out, by the way, what the movie shows is in 43 states. Normally, it is illegal to show pornography or obscenity to children. You will go to jail if you do that and you're caught doing that. However, in 43 states out of 50, if you show it to children in a school or a library, it's exempt. There is not a prosecution for that. So that is hence why parents are now, after this movie, they're going to their school libraries, they're going in to look at the curriculum more closely and finding this hardcore pornography. And so parents in Indiana were able to compile this folder full of porn, which I cringe when parents start to read it at school board meetings because it is shocking information, but it desensitizes us. The more we hear this porn aloud, the more we get desensitized. So I recommend give a folder to the school official or to the legislative official, but that's what they did in Indiana. And yes, they came out ahead of time and said, you cannot read any of this aloud because it's going to be live streamed and children might be watching, a classroom be watching in at the Senate hearing.
That's laughably moronic.
Yes, it is.
It reminds me of Ketanji Brown when she was being interviewed and was asked the simple question, can you define what a woman is? I don't know if that was the exact way it was phrased. And she said, no, I'm not a biologist. And the thing that's interesting about that, she was so fearful about offending leftists, and yet the leftists don't believe biology has anything to do with whether you're a man and a woman anymore. It's how you feel and think that determines whether you are a man or a woman, according to them. So she didn't even act really according to the script of leftism, because she was so fearful of offending people. She got caught up in her own web of lies and revealed how moronic that position is.
Yeah, that's right.
We have another anonymous listener who asks, how do I go about making sure that your documentary is presented in my congregation? I would like to get the community involved by inviting them to see this in my congregation and perhaps even at a local theater.
Well, you had talked about it. I steer people to Mark and Amber's website, which is fearlessfeatures.org. You can click on the Mind Polluters, and it has all the information on the page to be able to purchase the movie. You get it for a short period of time, and you can show that in a movie theater, or you can show that to just get a group of people in your home, or if just you want to watch the film. It is accessible to you that way. Eventually it will be through DVD, but again, it's taken a lot of prayer and, it's gonna take donations, to get that because they're basically funding this whole project. So we do free will, for those of us who were in the movie and we have distribution rights and we could show the movie. We do free will offerings, at every showing. To go toward them getting to distribute this and get it out there to as many people as possible.
Being a Calvinist, I like to call them predestined offerings.
Yes. There you go.
We have to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot shorter than the other breaks. If you have a question for Audrey Werner, please send it in very soon because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Always give us your first name, at least your city and state and country of residence. If it is a personal and private matter, you may feel free to remain anonymous. So don't go away. We'll be right back right after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark, and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. Audrey, I want to make sure that before I go to any more listener questions, that you basically summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this subject and about the documentary, The Mind Polluters.
I would say that everyone needs to see the documentary. It's clear that the church and the traditional family has been under attack. This movie does a beautiful job of summarizing up what the problem is. And I always say we want to go into the enemy's war room and we want to know what the problem is because we don't want to be part of the problem. We want to be part of the solution. And I believe for America, our greatest hope is if the American churches wake up and get in this fight. Often many of us in the movie don't even have pastors that are backing us or churches that are excited about our movie. We're doing this because the Lord has prompted us to do it. So we need good men and women to get in this fight, and we especially need the pastors in this fight. So please, any pastor who's listening to this, I would encourage you to watch this movie. There is a message at the very end for pastors as well. And be encouraged. We are on the winning side here. We have Almighty God with us. So we are on the winning side. And there is hope. There is hope for America. God can turn this around in a heartbeat, but it takes his people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, going back to him, repenting and going back to him. Then he can heal the land. So it's vital that we know this information.
Amen. Let's see here. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who wants to know, there has been a day in history when feminists were in strong agreement with evangelical Christians on one point. They were universally opposed to pornography. Even stuff that might even be considered tame today, like Playboy magazine and other similar periodicals. And now the stuff that is available makes that stuff look like Boys Life magazine or something that is completely tame and not harmful. How on earth are the feminists remaining silent about this? Because they know, and one of the things that they are right on the money about very often, is that women are the victims in this scenario of the promotion of this kind of garbage. And obviously, it's our listener was correct in saying women are the victims. They're not the only victims, but they are a primary victim.
Right, right. And now men are becoming victims, too, with the gaining popularity of sodomy. You know, I've known of men who have been raped at college as well. That's a great question, and I can't help but think the feminists who are at the top of the chain are also the Luciferian feminists. So, you know, when we look at the whole athlete, the women athletes, where are the feminists? Why are they standing up for all the female athletes as these men who claim to be women are competing against them?
Right.
So. That's a good question. I don't have an answer for that one. And I think as you have said, there's so much irony, and ridiculousness throughout all of this, and it's not biblical based. So, yeah.
Well, let's see. We have another question. There is a question from CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, I don't know if I missed the portion of the show where you were speaking about this, But is it clear that this sex curriculum that you are condemning is actually literally promoting pedophilia?
What the film, I think, does a good job of showing is that the techniques used, teaching children about their genitals, teaching them about the act when they're very young, and then actually witnessing, you know, you can see that children are averted to that because they're not meant to have sex or be sexualized early on. So the movie does a good job of showing how sex ed curricula and you know, some people would go, well, we need to have them call the correct name for the genitals. They need to know the act for procreation. But again, we're talking about little children. We want our children to be morally innocent but not naive. As I said, back in the day, they used, the morally neutral object, the flowers, the birds, and the bees, to communicate God's life process. So we have shifted to being graphic. We have shifted from God covering us up to putting it out in the open there. And that has been the foundation of the whole sex education movement. So, of course, now today we have the whole pedophilia, pro-pedophilia, which, again, sex education is taking down those barriers and preparing children for sex, or to even be, as, you know, one of the persons said, this movie is showing how schools are now grooming children for child sex trafficking. So, we're at a dangerous point here.
Yeah, I remember seeing in the documentary that there is a push by many leftists that goes under the banner of children's rights, that children have the right to experience and enjoy sexuality. And you cannot help but think that behind that facade of standing up for children's rights is the goal of pedophilia being acceptable.
Exactly, exactly. And that is the whole movement is to normalize everything. And most everything has been normalized. This is the last taboo. And like I said, the Florida, what Governor DeSantis did, I don't think parents are ready to sexualize little children yet. I loved the parents supporting him on that. When it was said it was an anti-LGBT, they came back and said it's an anti-grooming bill, because that's in essence what it is. That's what they're doing in the schools, is grooming children, rewiring their brains to accept and participate in perverse sexual activity.
Yeah, if you are teaching, and even our president, Joe Biden, is saying that children should have the right to mutilate their bodies physically through sexual surgeries and also through pharmaceutical methods, magically change their genders. Obviously, we know that cannot happen. But change their genders and appearance anyway. We have a president of the United States being adamant that children should have that right, even in defiance of the parents' desires. I don't even believe a parent should be legally permitted to allow that to happen. I think that parents that allow that should be in prison. But they don't even think, many of these people, including our president, I don't believe and think parents need to give consent for this. And if a child can make that decision on his own or her own, then why can't a young child make the decision to have sex with an adult? I mean, it's just really common sense. I mean, this is just so revolting and satanic, and your head spins that there are people who on the outside are your just average, seemingly normal neighbors in suburbia, and they are actually supporting these things with their votes and their activities and politics. It's just, I don't even know what to say. I mean, I sure hope that the postmillennialists are right and that this all changes eventually, where our globe is honoring the law of God. But want to once again give all of the contact information that people need. You can go to themindpolluters.com, themindpolluters.com. And as far as your own ministry that you have, that you are a part of, why don't you give our listeners the contact information for that, Audrey?
Sure. It is Matthew18.org. And it's the, you can do 1-8, or you can do the Roman numeral, XVIII. We have both domains.
Well, thank you so much, Audrey. And I want to thank Maggie Conley, a friend of yours, for alerting me about this documentary, The Mind Polluters, and reminding me I should get you back on the show. And I'm very glad I did. I want to thank everybody who listened. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. Have a very safe, happy, healthy, and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day.